What's up, everybody? This is the Gentleman John podcast. Thank you for joining us this week. We are live on location at the Rubicon Ranch in Rubicon, Wisconsin, for AIWF's Midwest WrestleFest. If I sound a little weird, I beg your pardon. I got kneed in the throat tonight by a dastardly man who goes by the name of Rough Crossing. Rough Crossing, you may have kneed me in the throat and made me sound weird, but I got the better of you tonight in a hell of a match. Now, joining me tonight is a little bit different of a guest. I've had wrestlers on, but I've never had a manager on. So this is going to be a little bit of a different interview. Tonight, he was my manager, the manager of champions, adding a little bit of class wherever he goes, Mr. Chaz Moretti. Chaz, thank you for joining us on the Gentleman John podcast. Great to have you.
Well, John, thank you for having me. And I got to tell you, I got to tip my hat to you. As always, you were everything that my sources said you were going to be. I mean, I only manage champions. I only make sure that titles are retained. Rough Crossing, you brought out my worst enemy with you. You thought that was going to stop John Campbell and myself?
Oh, yeah. Melanie Cruz was out there, too.
I'm telling you. You know what? Every single time I figure that I have finally gotten rid of her, she just reappears and
just
reappears.
But, yeah, we are on location at the Rubicon Ranch, Rubicon, Wisconsin. SWE presenting the AIWF Midwest WrestleFest. Stacked card tonight, guys. It was a great show. I'm pretty sure it'll be out on DVD soon. My match with Rough Crossing, if by the time you hear this isn't on my YouTube page, it will be very soon. Now, Chaz, like I said at the beginning of this, it's going to be a little bit of a different interview. I've never interviewed a manager before. Now, were you a fan of professional wrestling growing up as a kid?
Oh, absolutely. You know, growing up in New York City, I was fortunate enough to see the original Worldwide Wrestling Federation.
Oh,
I mean, my dad took me to the Garden. My first match was in the late 70s, and I got to see the Tower of Power, who was always too sweet to be sour, defend his title against Bob Backlund. I'm talking about none other than superstar Billy Graham.
And I tell everybody, that is my favorite era of wrestling, and I think that comes out in my matches, too. If I could be at any time point, I would love to be the late 70s, early 80s, living in New York City. Everybody knows in my personal life, I'm a huge fan of punk rock music. You know, what would be better than, you know, for me at least, going to CBGB's, seeing the Ramones, and then going to the Garden and catching, you know, WWF. To me, that would have been like the greatest thing ever. Unfortunately, I do not live in such time period, but we do have the DVDs,
well,
and we
will
can
give
remember.
I will give you a little bit of backstory about me that I don't usually tell people. When I was growing up, when I was in high school, I was a huge punk rock fan.
That's
and a
awesome.
Huge Ramones fan, and I actually went to see the Ramones in New York City in
1984. I'm jealous. I'm so jealous.
I don't want to say it. It's not that I'm trying to rub things in, but I was fortunate enough to see the Ramones. It was awesome.
That's really cool. That's always one of my biggest regrets, is I was never able to go. And they were around for forever. And, mm-hmm. you know, I was never, you know, fortunate enough to go see them. So growing up, you were going to the Madison Square Garden shows, seeing guys like Billy Graham and Bob Backlund.
Bob Backlund,
and
Tony Gurria, Bruno
Sammartino.
Yeah.
Oh, I just watched a great documentary on Bruno not too long ago. It's on YouTube, actually, directed by George Romero, of
mm-hmm.
all people. Yeah, it's called Strongman. It's really cool.
And, you know, managers-wise, I was fortunate enough to see the three wise men in their prime. I'm talking about the
Grand Wizard, yep.
Lou Albano, Freddie Blassie.
Tremendous.
I also got to see the emergence of the second generation of managers. And it's hard for me to put him in this category as a second generation of manager, because he was around in the Chicago area forever in the 70s, Bobby Heenan. But Bobby
Absolutely.
Heenan came in that mid-80s push, along with Jimmy Hart, you know, along with Ted DiBiase when he managed Steve Austin. Managers have always been an integral part of what makes professional wrestling.
Absolutely. I believe it's a lost art. It really is. There's not enough managers, you know. Managers are just as important, in my opinion, to a match as the two wrestlers.
Well, I think Rough Crossing found out tonight how important a real manager can be.
That's right. Now, was there ever a point where you... did you always want to be a manager? Did you want to be a wrestler and then just it kind of segued?
My professional life took me into interesting avenues, and one of which was
porno?
Operating.
We're very laid back on this podcast.
That's my next foray. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about that. But my professional life took me into the world of sports as a sports agent.
Okay.
And I got to work with a lot of football players, and I got to work with a lot of soccer players.
Oh, wow.
Soccer was always my first love. I played soccer for, God, more years than I care to remember.
Big Pelé fan?
You know what? Saw Pelé play at Shea Stadium.
Wow.
Wasn't too big of a fan in the 70s. Got into it more. High school I went to didn't have football, so I played soccer.
Absolutely.
Started out as a goalkeeper, and, you know.
And a lot of people don't give soccer credit. I mean, you know, soccer is... it's a brutal sport. You are constantly moving.
It's 90 minutes of fluid action.
Yes.
You don't stop.
Yeah, you know, football, not knocking football, but, you know, football, boom, you do the play, it's done, you know, you line up. Soccer is just go, go, go. I give all the respect in the world to that.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, you look at it, John, and you talk about the various wrestlers and the various eras, and every era has its... superstars and has its, what I want to say, its flavor.
Yes.
And, you know, we're in the 70s, you had guys that were strong guys giving it their all and brawling, fighting more often.
Yeah, for
more
sure.
Than what we're seeing right now.
Yeah.
You know, technically, what we see right now is just night and day from what we saw back then.
Yeah, I miss
but
it.
No less compelling.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know? No less compelling
absolutely.
Whatsoever. But, you know, everybody says, you know, I heard a complaint, and this is one time I'm going to address a complaint.
Uh-oh.
That's fine. I heard a complaint about why Paul Heyman is managing CM Punk.
Okay.
And he says, well, CM Punk can cut a promo. Why does he need Paul Heyman? Well, superstar.
Why not?
That's what I said. Why not?
Yeah.
Superstar Billy Graham was the greatest promo man in the history of the game. And he had the Grand Wizard.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the cherry on top.
Exactly.
You know
exactly.
What I mean?
But, you know, that's why when you called me and said, I may need some help, what do you know about Rough Crossing that I don't? Oh, I jump at the opportunity.
Absolutely.
You know, Rough Crossing got involved, and I'll give you another backstory. Rough Crossing got involved when I signed Nicky St. John up in the SWE and the AIWF, and we were, you know, giving Melanie Cruz what she deserved.
That's right.
And Crossing came and made a run-in. After that, it's my objective in life to make him miserable, and tonight just made me so happy.
There you go.
It was phenomenal.
Well, hey, I aim to please, you know, and I needed a manager, and first person I thought of was Mr. Moretti.
Absolutely. Anytime you need me, you just call me.
So, now, okay, you were a sports agent, and you were handling...
Sports agent, I handled a number of different stars. I handled a lot of soccer players, so I was back and forth to Europe, and I was fortunate enough to see... English-style professional wrestling. And for those that don't know what English-style professional wrestling is, it's a little bit different in that it's done on a round system.
Uh-huh.
So it's 15 three-minute rounds.
Now, whereabouts in Europe? Like, were you able to see, like, you know, the Finleys and...
I didn't get to see Finley because he was already here when I was,
overseas. Okay.
But I got to see such stars. I got to see the whole Knight dynasty come about.
Okay.
I got to see Ricky Knight. I got to see Soraya Knight. Who have I had the distinct pleasure of managing when she came to Illinois. So, you know, to see the Knights, to see Giant Haystacks, Big Daddy.
Yeah,
those
absolutely.
They were great stars in their country, and it was different. It was good to see different styles in Europe. And when you come back to the States, when I got back to the States, and basically I kept my office out in England and kept my operations more centered into the States. Then I got to see the Finleys, and I got to see, you know, Steve Regals.
Very cool.
You know,
I watched a great documentary on the Finleys and all of those guys too. I was able to see it Unfortunately, on YouTube, somebody uploaded it, so I did not buy it. I'm sorry, Mr. Finley, if you are listening, which you are probably not. But it's very, very compelling documentary, and it definitely gives you a great aspect of just how different professional wrestling is over there compared to over here.
Oh, and one of the first stars to come over from England and actually use that catch wrestling style before an unfortunate injury ended his wrestling career was Lord Alfred Hayes.
Yeah.
Lord Alfred Hayes in the early 70s was a phenomenal wrestler.
Yes, he was.
And then spent his time managing after that.
Yeah, and not a lot of people, a lot of people only know him as a commentator.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if you can check out any Lord Alfred Hayes stuff, that's definitely a must.
Oh yeah. And he managed a monster by the name of the Super Destroyer number 2 in the AWA, and it was just, you know, as a manager, he was just phenomenal.
Super D's.
Yep.
Now, okay, so back to, you know, you're an agent and you're back in the States. Now, what kind of pushed you over the edge? Like, you know, say it was like, you know, what happened to where you wanted to start doing this?
Well, what happened was I got a phone call at my office in New York back in 2010. You'll never guess who it was.
I have no idea.
It was Melanie Cruz.
Oh, hey.
Melanie Cruz called me and asked me if I would represent her at Powell's Wrestle Rage 8 while she was involved in a six-woman tag match with Serena Deeb.
There you go.
With Juliet the Huntress against Nikki St. John, against Taylor Made. And I jumped at the opportunity. It was a different sport. And I always will argue with people that call it a business. It's still a sport to me. It will always be a sport to me.
Absolutely.
You know, and jumped at the opportunity to represent Melanie Cruz, began managing Taylor Made, and picked up Malat Akbar, managed such talents as Marco Cordova, Vic Capri, who's been everywhere within the wrestling world.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the Moretti Agency, which is a sports agency.
Yes, it
became a wrestling agency.
Hey, and you know, sports a sport, you know.
Exactly. And now I've pretty much, my contracts and my contacts have been, right now, they've been polarized into the wrestling. So I'm really not handling anybody else but wrestlers right now.
Well, hear that, ladies and gentlemen. If you are a professional wrestler and you need a good agent, a good manager, and an all-around good guy, Chaz Moretti, he is ready to handle your affairs.
Absolutely. Anybody that wants me to represent them needs only to call me.
Now, segueing a little bit from, you know, your professional side as a, you know, just back to when you were that kid and you were going to Madison Square Garden and you were seeing all these great wrestlers, all these larger-than-life guys doing these larger-than-life things. Have you ever had that moment where, you know, you're maybe in the ring or you're out there managing and you're just like, man, I'm doing the same thing I saw the Grand Wizard do. I'm doing the same thing I saw Bobby Heenan do. You know, have you ever had that moment?
I had that moment on November the 12th, 2010, Wrestle Rage 8, when I walked Melanie Cruz out to that ring.
Ah.
It was a surreal scene behind the scenes. Didn't really hit me until her music hit and the curtain opened.
Yeah, and you see like 2,000 people
out there. I'm looking out there.
I
was at the Odeum in Villa Park, Illinois. Yes. And I looked out there and I said exactly what you said.
Yeah, wow.
My God, I'm doing what Flair, J.J. Dillon, the Grand Wizard, Heenan, what they've all done.
All the heroes.
And, you know, that it was a great melding of that little kid inside who's like, oh, this is so cool.
Yeah.
To the agent who's, you know, I've been to Wembley.
Yes.
I've been to huge stadiums. I've been to World Cups. I'm not really fazed by large sporting events, but when you're not on the sideline, but participating in that event, yeah, it becomes a little bit different.
Yeah, for sure. And I bet, because a lot of times when people start out, you know, they start out and there's like, you know, 20 people in the crowd. 30 people in the crowd. You hit that curtain, and like you said, you've been to Wembley, which is, what, an 80,000 seat arena?
Yeah,
something 85,000 like that.
Seats.
Yeah, you know, you've been to Wembley, you've been to all that. And Powell's Wrestle Rage, you know, that was a huge event. I was there. 2,000 people. You know, that's huge for a non, you know, televised professional wrestling event. That's huge for an independent.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah, like, you know, to go from, you know, bypassing all of that, you know, where there's 10 people in the crowd, 20 people in the crowd, to like 2,000 people in the crowd, I bet, you know, it was nerve-wracking.
You know, the one thing that it was nerve-wracking until the only part that was really nerve-wracking is I didn't want to fall on the steps.
Yeah.
I said, as long as I can clear the stairs, I'm fine.
Absolutely.
Getting in the ring was no big deal. Yeah. I'm like, if I don't fall down the stairs, I'm all good.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, it was funny because my first match managing Melanie Cruz full-time was in front of a packed house in Fox Lake, Illinois.
Yeah.
Against Serena Deeb.
Ah, okay.
And that was just, you know, a phenomenal, phenomenal match. And, but, you know, John, I've worked crowds that were 25 people.
Yeah.
And I've worked the Wrestle Rage crowd that's 2,000
people.
2,500 people.
Yeah, for sure.
And you still get that excited, uneasy feeling before you hit the curtain, no matter who's out there. And it's just that's the love for our sport that those of us who aren't in it have.
Yeah, and I tell people all the time, you know, the day I lose the butterflies, the day I lose, you know, that excitement, you know, is, you know, the day that I'm probably going to get out. You know, I've never been, and I've only been doing this for 6 years, but I've never been, oh, well, I got to drive to, you know, I got to drive 9 hours to Wisconsin. I'm always like, I get to drive 9 hours to Wisconsin. You know, this is an opportunity. The day I start looking at it like a chore instead of an opportunity is probably the day I'm going to call it quits. And I don't ever see that happening. At least definitely not anytime soon. You know, you have to have the love. You have to have the passion for our sport. And I can definitely see that you do.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially with your background.
Oh, most definitely. And, you know, like you said before, you have the love for the sport, and I've been fortunate to manage great male wrestlers. I've been fortunate to manage great female wrestlers.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the one knock the female wrestlers get, and it's unjustified, is that they are not wrestlers. They are wrestlers.
Absolutely.
They're very much wrestlers.
I know a lot of female wrestlers. Female wrestlers have to work harder than male wrestlers. A lot of people don't understand that. There's a lot more male wrestlers than there are female wrestlers. So female wrestlers have to work twice as hard to get that spot. You know, there's a few companies out there that are, you know, strictly female only, like, you know, Shine and Shimmer and all of that stuff. But
great promotions, by the way.
Yeah, but, you know, on a show like tonight, you know, where there was only one female in the cast of, you know, everybody else.
You're gonna remind me about her again, huh?
Hey, I'm just kidding, I'm joking around. But, you know, female wrestlers, they have to work a lot harder, and they have to prove their worth more, because if a female, and not, you know, this isn't, I've heard this from female wrestlers, this isn't just my opinion, but when a female wrestler is on a show, automatically people are thinking, oh, who's she screwing to get on the show?
You know, it's totally unjustified.
It very much is. And, I mean, there are female wrestlers that give other female wrestlers bad names and bad reputations like that. But, you know, 85 to 90% of the female wrestlers out there, they bust their butts, asses.
Oh, absolutely.
They work hard. You know, they do. They have to work twice as hard to prove that they're
worth it. One needs to only look at Pro Wrestling Illustrated, which has been the Bible for professional wrestling since I could remember.
Yeah. Shout out to Brady Hicks at thebradyhicks.com, by the way, who streams this podcast every week. Just throwing a little shout out there.
Well, we're going to give another shout out to our good friend and contributing writer to Pro Wrestling Illustrated, Mike Bessler.
Mike Bessler.
All the best. How are you?
L. Alvin, another great one. The whole team over there just
phenomenal work that they do.
But back to the female wrestlers.
You look at the PWI Top 50, and those are
wrestlers.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I'm going to give a credit where credit is due. I've had one singles match. I took the match lightly. I thought for sure it was going to be an easy night at the park. And yeah, it was against Melanie Cruz. And Melanie Cruz, well, she got lucky.
I bet she had to cheat to do it.
Yeah, she did.
Absolutely.
But at the end of the day, what do we always say? If you get the three count, it really doesn't matter how you got it.
Absolutely.
And she got the three count on
yeah.
me. But Melanie Cruz, I know you're listening, because I know you never, never, never want to see me succeed. But I'm going to tell you something, young lady. Somewhere down the road, I want my rematch. You got lucky.
And I know she's listening because she never misses an edition of the Gentleman John Campbell podcast.
So. Anybody who would miss an edition of this great show just doesn't have a clue.
Absolutely.
I mean, they need to get a clue.
They do. So what does the future hold for Chaz Moretti in the sport of professional wrestling? Maybe managing some of the top superstars in the top promotions?
Right now?
WWE?
Oh, absolutely.
TNA?
Absolutely. Like I said, anybody that needs quality representation in their corner, call me. Look me up on Facebook, Chaz Moretti.
Absolutely.
Get in contact with me. I'll be more than happy to represent you.
Absolutely. Chaz Moretti is a good man. He's a fair man. He does want his, what, 20%?
12%.
12%?
Just 12%.
Just 12%. See, he only wants 12%, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, you know what you got to understand, too, though, is, you know, we get a bad name as representatives because of some of the managers. You know, the difference between me and a manager?
Yes.
See, I'm not really a manager, John.
You're an agent.
A manager is a slimy parasite.
Yes.
I mean, I'm a sports agent.
You're a sports agent. Sports agent, and you know what, sports agents? They want to get paid just like everybody else. They're only asking 12%. 12%, and they'll take care of you. They'll make sure your needs are met and kept up, and they will do a great job. Chaz Moretti, he's got the Gentleman John's thumbs up.
Appreciate it. One other shout-out that I want to give is there's another little foray that I'm getting into. It seems that down in Joliet, Illinois, at Pro Wrestling Blitz, they need a new commissioner.
Oh,
they need somebody to make sure, like you said, that things are done right down the line.
Yes.
Business is taken care of. And there's a gentleman down there by the name of Billy Wack who thought he was a cakewalk to win this position. How are you mistaken? Because come November the 24th, you're involved in a debate with yours truly. And that is a job you will never get elected to, my friend.
Absolutely not. Chaz Moretti, he's got the gift of gab, sir. He is going to metaphorically undress you with his mouth and have his way with you. Metaphorically.
Oh, I hope metaphorically.
Metaphorically. Just throwing that out there.
Okay, that's good. to my valet, Isis. No, hon, you don't have anything to worry about. That was just metaphorically.
Metaphorically. So, I digress. So the future is very bright for Chaz Moretti.
Future is very bright, like I said, with great organizations like Pro Wrestling Blitz, SWE, AIWF, IWA Productions down in Olney, Illinois.
Absolutely.
You know, like you said before, John, I don't look at it as I have to go to another state to work.
You get to.
I get to go to another state to work.
And that's the way to do it. That's the best way to be. Now, what are we going to see Chaz Moretti back in the ring in a wrestling capacity anytime soon?
We never say never.
Never say never.
I do want my rematch with Melanie Cruz.
Yes.
As far as being a full-time wrestler, no, that's not my strong suit.
No, absolutely
my
not.
Strong suit is representation, and I'll stick to the representation.
And you know something? That's all you need, because you're great at it. You know, you've definitely... And I can remember back to... it was a Wrestle Rage 9... It was Wrestler Age 9, actually, I think, when we first had had interaction, too. You came out, it was a 10-man tag, 8-man or
10-man tag team match.
It was a 10-man tag team match where I once again got robbed, but we will not.
Absolutely. We will, because at one point, there was a gentleman named Phil Saunders, who was Soul Brother number one, who decided to put his stinking hands on me.
Yeah, and that was uncalled
for. It was uncalled for, because all I did was make sure that he wasn't going to choke you.
Well,
I mean, you know, what's fair is fair.
Yeah, but, you know, I didn't get the win that night, unfortunately, but I did make good contacts with Chaz Moretti, and here we are today at the Rubicon Ranch AIWF Midwest WrestleFest, and it was a glorious night.
It was, and John, I want to take this opportunity to formally welcome you as a member of the Global Moretti Agency.
Well, thank you very
much. With all the privileges and rights that go with that membership.
Do I get the jet, too?
Oh, anytime you need the wings, just call me.
All right. Well, hey, there we go. So I'm now accepting bookings everywhere worldwide.
Worldwide.
So, now, I like to end the podcasts a couple different ways. One being, do you have any good road stories that you can share with those of us? Whether it's pro wrestling, whether it's in your other walks of life.
I got a road story for you. Driving back from a wrestling show.
Okay.
And passenger in the cars, and all of a sudden, they ran over something. And we heard a big thump.
Oh.
The driver, like, what was that? And the driver says, it was a deer. You hit it? Well, no, it was already dead. Don't worry about it. So they drove all the way home with dead rotting deer carcass smell. Now you gotta love that.
Yeah. How long was the drive?
4 hours.
Oh, nice. It's bad enough being in the car 4 hours with somebody who smells bad, but then you get that dead animal. Because it's after the show. Everybody's been sweating.
Oh,
everybody's
tired.
Yeah, tired. Yep. Well, at least the dead rotting carcasses, the smell kept you awake, right?
Oh, it kept us awake. For 4 days.
There you go. Now, where can people, the fans listening or anybody elsewhere, where can they find you on the World Wide Web?
They can find me in a couple different places. You can find me on Facebook. My profile is Chaz Moretti. It's my name.
That's Chazz?
Correct. Chazz. The last name is spelled M as Mary, O-R-E-T-T-I. Chaz Moretti.
Okay.
And you can also find me on Twitter at ChazM number one. Because as usual,
absolutely,
I am the number one manager in the business.
Hey. All right. Well, you can find him at those places. You can find me at Facebook at facebook.com/JohnCampbellX. You can find me on Twitter at GJohnCampbell. You can find me here at GentlemanJohnCampbell.podomatic.com. And you can also find me on YouTube at youtube.com/KWOAsylum.
And if you are a gorgeous, good-looking young lady, you can always find me at the dice table at a various casino. But, you know, I digress now.
Yeah, there you go. Well, Chaz Moretti, it was an absolute pleasure working with you tonight and having you on the podcast. Thank you very much.
John, the pleasure of working with you tonight, sir, of representing the AIWF Michigan State and Canadian National Heritage Champion, the pleasure was all mine.
Well, thank you very much. We will see you next time, and we're going to have to do a follow-up, most definitely.
Absolutely.
So we will see you guys later. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Take care.